Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. The Mattress Warehouse Hotline is where we find our buddy Joe Theismann, one of the great Redskins quarterbacks ever, and who better to have on to talk QBs in D.C. than Joe, who's been on the call of both of their preseason games to this point. He'll be back at it on Thursday night in Atlanta. Joe, why don't we start with the injury to Colt McCoy? We had him on the show, and we talked to him about his chance to win the job, and he was emotional and just talking about what it would mean to him to do so, and he was telling us he was mostly healthy. This is tough, but it seems like he never was. Like, maybe he was gutting through a little bit of discomfort, and now the question is he even going to be on the active roster when the year starts, or is he going to be on injured reserve?
You know, it is a great question. Having watched Colt work all through training camp, you could see, obviously, that right foot was bothering him, right leg, I guess you could say. And it's such a vital part of the throwing mechanism because that's the leg you push off on. I know he was optimistic. I know he was gutting through things to try and you know, compete for the starting job. And in the last couple of weeks, we've seen him inactive. He hasn't practiced a lot. Dwayne's getting a ton of work, which, first of all, he needs. And secondly, it looks like he's going to wind up being the number two man. But, you know, Colt's desire is incredible. His heart is unbelievable. His work ethic the same way. I feel so bad for him. I'm so disappointed. And, you know, unfortunately, what he has and what he's gone through is a time injury. It just takes time for everything to heal properly. And, you know, I think he did what he could do to try and get it that way. And, you know, the body didn't cooperate the way it wanted it to. So I'm not sure how he's going to wind up as far as his status goes on the roster, whether he's going to be on IR with the chance to come back. Because, you know, we can move two people back off of IR now. So, you know, from my perspective, I think he has to do what's right for him so that he can be as effective as he wants to be if and when he gets on the field.
Joe, you mentioned Dwayne Haskins, and I know you've told us that you think he should sit and learn and watch it for a while. And, you know, this may change the dynamic because now he's a play away if Case Keenum goes down for any reason. But just in terms of from week to week and just your watching, what growth have you seen from Dwayne Haskins, the progression that you've seen?
What I've really liked is I've liked his maturity. I've liked his poise. You know, he struggled in Cleveland a little bit, made some errant throws. He learned from them. He processes information extremely well. He knows what he needs to do. He knows what he wants to do. Now it's just a question of continuing to be able to communicate. And one of the little things that I see, which I think is a very big plus, is he has not been in a situation from a communication standpoint where he's gotten a delay of game penalty. And for a rookie quarterback to be able to process the volume of information that he has to and then be able to communicate it to his teammates, then get to the line of scrimmage, then make those decisions, He kept everything in a very timely fashion. I've been extremely impressed with that. His arm is obvious. His athletic skills, I think, are a little bit more than people thought. He runs a little better than people thought. He's still going to be a drop-back quarterback. We're not going to confuse him with Lamar Jackson over in Baltimore. That's not going to happen. But I think that all the work that he is getting is very beneficial for him. Unfortunate for Colt. But Colt has had 5 years in the system, and it's really beneficial for Dwayne. But the positives are still throws the ball well, throws the ball down the field. We saw that last week, processing information very well. Now it's just a question of game experience, and he'll probably get, I'm guessing, a half maybe in this one. You know, now they have to get Jalen ready. You know, now you have to start thinking about, okay, we need our three ready to go. Because remember, guys, last year we went through four quarterbacks in 4 weeks. And you just don't know in this league. You look at Philadelphia. They've got two of them down. There just aren't a lot of quarterbacks out there. Josh McCown signed. He's, what, 62, 63, I think? something like that. I mean, it's not unheard of. But yeah, now you have to start thinking, okay, and from everything that I understand, Jalen is a bright kid. You know, he played at North Carolina State, played at Baylor. So he's played some football, probably about as much as Dwayne has when you look at the college experience. So it's one of those things where you just have to wait and see. Case is going to be the starter. I mean, there was no doubt in my mind Case was going to be the starter from the beginning, because there's just a volume of information you have to process. And now his process, I don't think, will be accelerated. He just has to move along growing the way he has.
Joe Theismann's a former MVP and multi-time Pro Bowler and a Walter Payton Man of the Year, and he joins us on G&D here on 106.7 The Fan. Joe, in training camp, I was surprised but also happy to hear you talk about the fact that you thought waiting on Haskins was the best practice. I'm wondering, you know, you were talking about even maybe toward the end of the season perhaps before you'd play him, if at all. Have you seen anything in his two games to change the timeline to make you think if he had to play early, he'd have a lot of success?
No, you heard me say this time and time again, guys. The quarterback position is the single most dependent position on the field. If we play great defense, which I think we can, and we don't make mistakes, which I believe is a key to games, and you can run the football with the running backs we have, you can protect the position a little bit and allow him to grow into it if in the event he needs to play. I don't think if Dwayne has to play, Jay is not going to just say, okay, we're going to fold the tent and just keep everything close to the vest. They're going to run their offense. There is an expectation for him. I listen and I watch, and they expect him to be everything he is as a first-round pick. I think that for his sake going forward and not being put in a situation where you're forced to do things. I mean, we open on the road in Philadelphia. We go to New York in the first five. Then you get Dallas, Chicago, and New England, the other three. You look what Bill Belichick did to Jared Goff in the Super Bowl with 2 weeks of work. He gave him looks that he'd never seen before, and Dwayne hasn't seen anything at the full speed of a regular season. So I still believe that patience should be the virtue when it comes to getting him on the field. Unless, of course, injury forces Jay's hand, then you have no choice.
Joe, has your opinion, and first of all, remind folks where you're at on this, but on what the Redskins should do with Trent Williams, how should they handle this, and has your opinion changed and evolved through this preseason?
I say this, I don't know why Trent has decided not to show up. He has his reasons, whatever they are. I just sort of look at the situation, and I say, number one, the Redskins, I don't believe, are pressed into having to have Trent Williams back on the field. With Trent Williams on the field, the Redskins have not had a winning record. So he's not a wide receiver. He doesn't touch the ball a lot. He's not a quarterback. He's not a running back. He's a terrific offensive lineman, absolutely terrific. Pro Bowler, seven times. All those credentials are there. But he's only been available to the football team 12 games over the last 5 years, average in the season. The team has gone through two suspensions that he put himself in and stayed with him. 3 years ago, he was the highest-paid offensive lineman in football. Today, he's the sixth-highest-paid offensive lineman in football. Now, if the Redskins were to say to him, whatever you want, we're going to give you, will he come in? Because from what I understand, he has issues with management and the medical staff. And so let's say he comes in. Now, he's griped about the medical staff, right? We've heard this constantly. Let's say he comes in and he gets hurt, or something happens that he has to be treated. Who treats him? I mean, it's an ugly can of worms. And the Redskins are not obligated to do anything because he has 2 years left on his contract. I would have loved to seen him come in. Now, like I said, I put the medical stuff aside. I have no idea what that's all about. Just from a football standpoint, I'd love to seen him come in, play this year out, be healthy, and at the end of 16 games, then you sit down and say, okay, we want to extend you for three more years to take you to 35 years old. Because even if he sits out this year, number one, he loses $12 million, which I just don't think makes sense because he's not Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon's a lot younger, and you know his impact will be greater for the Jets than Trent will have, I think, on this football team. And secondly, it moves him a year further in his age away from where he wants to get anyway, and that's someplace else.
What about trading him?
You know, what do you get for an offensive lineman? I mean, we've seen wide receivers go for two number ones. But what do you get for a 31-year-old offensive lineman? I don't know what the market is. I mean,
what if you got like a 2-3 or something like that, and you just kind of ended the standoff? Would you do that? I would do that, I feel like. I'm over it.
Well, you know, everybody's over it. I'm sure Trent's over it. I'm sure the Redskins are over it.
Yeah.
I know the fans are over it. I mean, you know, unfortunately, it's been just a topic of conversation all through training camp ever since it started. You know, and Donald Penn, who's playing the left tackle position, really is a friend of Trent's and talked to Trent, you know, before he made the decision to sign with the football team. So, you know, there's certainly nobody denies his athletic ability and what he's been able to do being the type of a football player he is. I'm just having trouble wrapping my arms around the entire picture. I think if I was the Redskins, I would probably wait. I would wait and see how the season goes. There's no hurry to trade them, and there's no rush to change the position that they're on right now.
Joe, thank you as always. We'll be listening on Thursday, man. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Appreciate you.
Always very good. Joe Theismann, love having him on the show on Grant and Danny. Sets the table for a Skins QB convo with you guys next. With Colt injured, looks like the job is Case Keenum's once and for all. How you feeling about him running the show to begin the season? What are your thoughts not only on Keenum, but on Haskins perhaps getting on the field sooner than we thought? We're Grant and Danny.
Danny Ruggier here for my guys at Ted Britt Ford. I got three different Ted Britt Fords on the record, on my permanent record. That's right. A couple years ago, the wife and I are car shopping, right? We had a little guy, and we're driving around trying to figure out what we wanted to do. We decided we think we want an SUV. We love what Ford has to offer, right? So we go see my guys at Ted Britt Ford. We test drove the Edge, test drove the Explorer, test drove a couple different things. And we settled on that Edge. We really, really liked it. And then we couldn't believe the deal we got. Salesperson was so knowledgeable. We were in, we were out. The whole thing was such a great experience. And I said, when it was my turn to get a car in a couple years, you know where I'm going? Right back to Ted Britt Ford. That's the experience. That's how they've been in business for 60 years. And it says right here, it says that on this sheet of paper, they're celebrating their 60th anniversary. 60 years in business, helping folks just like you and me. They're awesome at what they do. Let them win your business. That's how they think of it. They want to win your business. They'll treat you so well that you're likely to come back. That's how you do it for six decades. And right now, summer 60 events going on. You don't pay them anything for 60 days. That's right. You buy something, you don't pay them anything for 60 days on pretty much every model on the lot. Go see them, Fairfax, Chantilly, clickaway, tedbritt.com. And when you go, please tell them Danny sent you.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Much appreciate you tuning into the show. Hopefully you had a big weekend. What'd you do this weekend?
Had a busy weekend, my friend. Thanks to the folks in Winchester, the Bright Box Theater that came out to see your pal.
How was that show?
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah?
Really cool venue.
I feel like Winchester would be a good little spot for us. Is that fair?
So this is actually very interesting to me. Probably maybe only to me. We'll see what happens once I throw it out there. Three different people, as I'm walking from my car to the venue, and I'm standing outside the venue, like, oh my God, Danny from Grant and Danny, right? I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. What are you doing here? You see what I'm saying? It's cool that they figured out who I was, and that's awesome, and that's neat, and that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But they didn't know that I was doing a show right there and had no intention of coming to it.
Would have been nice.
You see what I'm saying? So it was neat to be, and then, but it was also not that neat. And it was a good little bit.
Would have been good if maybe they
would have been nice if they
the
knew,
show.
If they listened to the show and knew what was happening.
Net win overall, though.
But very positive.
As far
a lot
as
of
I'm
fun.
Concerned.
A lot of fun out there at the Bright Box. And then Saturday, you were there. I was there. A couple hundred of our friends were there. A bunch of nationals were hanging out at the Scherzer Showdown. One of the most fun events of the year. It's always so awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to tell some stories from that, actually, at 11:45 for our double play, the Scherzer Showdown charity event that we hosted with a slew of Nats and Redskins and people from around town. So that'll be some good storytelling coming up at 11:45. I'll just say that my weekend didn't go as planned. So you remember that I told you the wife was out of town,
yes,
bachelorette party,
That's right.
She took the baby with her so that the baby could spend some time with her mom and aunt and
with grandma
and some family of ours. Yeah. Well, I was like, okay, I'm just gonna be so relaxed and calm, and me and the dog, and I'm gonna like go watch three movies, and I want to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
You're gonna have a perfect weekend, the dude's weekend that we dream of.
I had a great weekend. Don't get me wrong. It was just a different one than I've envisioned.
Okay.
I didn't get to the movie theater once. Like all the things that I thought I was gonna do.
Who are you?
I don't know. You know what I did is I just went to so much Nats baseball. Friday night, Saturday night. I didn't go back Sunday because I saw two games on Saturday.
I was going to say.
My original plan was to go Sunday as well because I just can't go as much as I used to now with the baby.
Right, of course.
Used to be at more games than not, and now I can't be. But I went to the ballpark basically for hours upon hours. But I didn't get to go to the movies. So looks like it's going to be another several months probably before I get to see a movie.
Old movie-less Paulson.
It's a very, very weird life that I'm living. Case Keenum's the starting quarterback of the Redskins. Jay Gruden is not admitting it for some reason. He's acting like he hasn't made the decision yet. I don't know if he's keeping it open in case McCoy gets healthy somehow, miraculously.
I would say this.
Or if it's a Dwayne Haskins thing.
Yeah, I think for me, it's a Dwayne Haskins thing. I'll dangle a carrot a little bit. I'll say, participate in this open competition. This is good for you. Competition is good, right? Your setbacks that you're about to receive, that's good. Your setbacks are going to be in the form of you don't win this competition as opposed to you get destroyed behind a makeshift offensive line when you're not really ready to play. You know what I mean? Like, I would keep it open, even though I know the answer.
Yeah, and to an extent, you probably could say Case Keenum was the starter the moment they traded for him. I do think Colt McCoy had a chance to beat him out because I don't know how much better Keenum is as a quarterback. I think he probably wouldn't turn it over as much as McCoy. But in terms of making throws and scoring points and generating yardage and moving the football, I don't think there's much of a difference at all. And McCoy has been in the offense for 6 years, and Keenum has been in the offense for 6 months. So maybe if there was a healthy McCoy in a real competition, he could have won. But Keenum would have been the odds-on favorite with Vegas odds from day one, and that's how it's going to end up ending, it looks like. Jay Gruden said he's going to make the decision, or whether he makes the announcement or not, I'm not sure. After this Thursday night dress rehearsal, he's basically committed to playing the starters most of the second quarter. Said it's going to be a quarter and a half or so. Maybe he'll get him out after a drive in the second quarter. He said he doubts they go the whole first half. There's a small possibility of that. But I guess here's the question, and there's a couple of them on the QB spot. We can open up the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines for you at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Number one, how do you feel for Colt McCoy? I mean, how do you make sense of this? At what point do you just put him into the category of let's never again assume that Colt McCoy is going to play? And if he's available and does, that's just a bonus because I'm there already. This is now several years of Colt McCoy being unavailable when his opportunity came. And it's devastating for him, and it's sad as a guy who roots for him and likes him as the little engine who could. I'm not happy about it, but we are where we are. 2014, he had the starting job. He got hurt. 15, 16, 17, Kirk Cousins put up huge numbers. 2018, Colt McCoy, last year, watched Alex Smith. Then when he went down, on a pedestal, here it was. Playoff-bound team, potentially. Here's your shot. Go get him. You've been waiting for years. Go pull your Todd Collins. Rip off a few wins, and we'll talk about you 10 years from now. As that time in 2019, Colt came off the bench. Broke his leg immediately. This year, it's Case Keenum and a rookie who's not ready. You're in your sixth year in the offense. If ever there's a time for a guy who's been out of a starting job for that many years to have an opportunity, I'm holding a plastic knife and waving it around for some reason.
It's like you're conducting a symphony.
I don't know why I'm doing that. I just realized, you know why? I got it earlier when I made homemade iced tea and I was stirring my cup
with
it.
He was stirring it.
But now I'm just holding it and pointing it at you.
I don't want to say you're brandishing it, but you're not brandishing it.
It's close to a brandishing.
Like, if I ran into someone from HR, I could mention it, that Grant Paulson brandished the knife at me during the show.
Do you know that Grant pointed a plastic knife at me?
Well, he disagreed with me about Davey Martinez and bullpen usage. Next thing you know, he's got a knife.
97% of the time, when you're out of a starting job this long and you have the resume of Colt McCoy.
That's it.
You don't get another chance.
That's the end.
You got a chance this year. And the stars aligned magically. They didn't go do something more certain. They got a kid who had to wait, a quarterback kid, rookie who is not prepared, and a veteran who's kind of like you.
Yeah, journeyman who looks like you in the mirror.
We are again. So I feel awful for him. But Keenum's ready to run the show. What are your expectations for Case Keenum early in the season? That's really the big one. At 800-636-1067. How will this go at quarterback? A couple people this weekend at Nats Park go, what do you think of the Redskins this year? And my answer was the same every time, and it's kind of my default right now. I think the defense will be pretty good. I don't like their quarterback situation, certainly early in the season. Haskins has huge upside by the end of the year, hopefully. We'll see. But if your point when you're talking about a football team is, I don't love what's going on at quarterback right now, that's kind of all you need to know about it.
Isn't that the end of the summary? You could talk about anything else, but you're sort of stuck there.
What do you think of Keenum? Is there any way he comes out and maybe he's Minnesota Vikings Case Keenum again? They play defense, they run the ball, he doesn't turn it over, and he helps them win a la Alex Smith. It's not like Smith was doing much, by the way. The best thing about Alex Smith is what he wasn't doing last year. He just wasn't giving the other team the football. He wasn't giving his wide receivers the ball either, but they weren't losing games. Your thoughts on Keenum next on Grant and Danny.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We need Miami at home in a playoff push, better beat tomorrow. And then at the end of next hour, Top Golf Crush. Topgolf's coming to Nationals Park. You get
That's
to
fun.
Drive the ball into the outfield. I cannot wait for this. So actually, every time we do an event for the Nats Youth Baseball Academy, I normally bid in the silent auction on a couple of items, and I go home and I have to tell my wife,
hey,
so we won a couple of things, and we're a handful of $100 out.
I love that turn, the phrase, but you're not saying anything incorrectly, by the way. But
right.
You go, we won! We won! Oh, what did we win? We won the right to pay money for an object.
One of the two things I won this time around was actually a bay with 6 tickets to Nat's Top Golf Crush.
You won a Michael Bay?
I won a Michael Bay. So Top Golf Crush, 6 tickets, I won those. So the point of the dude's story is your boy spent some money on these this weekend. It's going to be a really cool thing. You get to win 2 tickets without spending a penny at 1:45 today. Make sure you're listening. Want to get your thoughts on Case Keenum. How do you think he'll fare early this season? Let's start with Dan in Fairfax.
Dan,
how are you, buddy?
Grant and Danny, great to talk to you again.
Hey, buddy.
You as well.
From day one, I've thought that Case Keenum should be the starter. And who's to say he can't have a year like he did 2 years ago in Minnesota? I know he doesn't have the weapons, but it's also a really tough break, no pun intended, that Colt, you just can't get right after having that injury. But can I say something about Sean Doolittle?
Please.
I've noticed in his last 20 appearances, he sometimes overthrows, and then the ball is high out of the strike zone. But he did buckle down on Friday. He threw a filthy slider for the third strike to Christian Yelich, who looked like he had no chance. He is the MVP, so that was pretty impressive.
That was a great at-bat, Dan. And, in fact, I incorrectly said that I thought it was going to maybe be the moment that kind of buoyed him for the rest of his year. I thought it was a turning point because he'd had these rough outings and he wasn't reliable, and then he came in and he walked the first batter and he's got Yelich up as a potential lead-taking run, and in my mind I'm thinking,
like, I'm going, this is the worst-case scenario.
Yeah,
this is it.
Bad.
This is the recipe that leads to the kitchen burning down.
And nobody was missing his fastball, but then he snapped off a really nice slider. He throws his fastball about 90%, slider 5%, changeup 5%. And I heard this morning the junkies were talking about Doolittle. People were wondering, he throws his fastball too much. First of all, every closer in the sport throws their fastball, and almost exclusively their fastball. They got an out pitch to put you away that's a breaking ball, but you're not finding closers anymore that don't throw fastballs like 85% of the time. Doolittle's not that different. But his fastball right now is not getting the swings and misses that it normally did. But we'll get back into that next hour. The question is about the Redskins quarterback situation and Case Keenum. Mike in Gaithersburg, do you have confidence that he'll play well and that he can keep Haskins on the bench long enough to get Haskins ready?
I'm hoping so. I mean, I think we all are under the same circumstance where the first five games are going to be a true test and hard for us, and hopefully our defense can, you know, keep teams off the field and at least get us, and Keenan can get us 24 points a game. But really, I feel like this is more of a trade bait scenario. Hopefully he plays well in the first six games, well enough to where it sparks some interest. Somebody else goes down, and Haskins is ready to rock and roll, because I don't really see us being a playoff team regardless this year.
Yeah, I agree with almost all the call. The only thing I'll disagree with, Mike, is if he could average 24 points a game with this offense as the starter, I'll meet you at Chili's on a day of your choosing, and I'll buy you a chocolate lava cake.
Let's have chocolate lava cake together with
eye
contact.
We'll both eat that chocolate lava cake.
We could soak over it with Doug Williams.
And we, you know what we should do? I'll pull up a bunch of Case Keenum highlights on my phone, and we can watch them while we eat chocolate lava cake.
Huddle them or huddle around.
I'll take the under on 24 points. But I think his floor is correct. Just get me through week six, giving the team a chance, staying competitive, not having the year be completely off the rails. Now, their early schedule this year, we've talked about this ad nauseum. It is brutal for the Redskins out of the chute here to begin the season. They play four playoff teams in their first five games. So they're wrapping up the preseason, Falcons, Ravens, next couple of weeks. Eagles on the road, a team that is one of the favorites to come out of the NFC. Cowboys opens the FedEx Field slate at home week two. Dallas is a favorite to make the playoffs.
That defense is nasty.
Bears in week three, speaking of nasty defense.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
Good luck moving the ball in Chicago. Now, I do happen to think they'll come back to the pack some. They're one of the best teams in the conference last year. Giants in week four. That's the first game on the schedule. I don't know that you take a breath, but you at least say that's a toss-up. You could absolutely go win in East Rutherford.
But is there any doubt in your mind, though, on the flip side, that that's a losable game? A divisional game going up there. So this is the point I make.
But hold on, let me finish.
Oh,
real
please
quick.
Go.
And then the next week, this is why I want to continue.
Yeah.
They play a team called the New England Patriots. There's your first five games. Now, after that, you get the Dolphins, a second, quote unquote, 50-50 type winnable game. Another bad team like you, like the Giants. 49ers, not your older brother's 49ers. If Garoppolo's playing, should be better. A lot of people think they're the sexy pick to come out of the West as a playoff team. Then you got to go to Minnesota and play Kirk Cousins.
On a Thursday night, by the way.
Have looked great in the preseason for whatever that's worth. They got a new offense, moving Cousins around on bootlegs, trying to run the ball more. Your schedule in the first half is set up to be a big, big problem if Case Keenum does not play well. And my biggest concern, Danny, tell me what you think. He plays badly. Haskins gets pushed out there in like week three or week four, basically thrown to the defensive wolves that is the Chicago Bears or a team like that.
Yeah, good luck. I mean, to me, this is, I have been waving my arms like a crazy person. That's normal for me. But screaming. Please remember the offense last year was terrible. This is the story of last year, a terrible offense. We are somehow surprised. We act like there's no correlation between the offense being inept, running among the fewest plays in the league. Okay, that means short drives, bad drives. It means ineffective offense. And somehow in the second half of the season, the defense didn't perform as well. Who would think there's any kind of connection with a team that doesn't score points, that doesn't move the football, that has nothing dynamic, that can't have leads, that allows allows other teams to march up and down the field just because they have that many cracks out of that many possessions? Who would have thought that the defense would fall apart in the second half? You've got the same recipe this year, except no cupcakes at the outset. Their offense is going to be putrid. It's going to be awful. Regardless of who's at quarterback, you're going to set the defense up to try to carry you, not only carry you, but dominate for you. They've got to be excellent for you to have any chance to win any of these games. Then you're going to fall apart in the second half and lose a bunch of games to teams that you shouldn't lose to, quote unquote. This is a recipe for disaster when right now you're going to be paying $34 million to two guys that aren't playing for you. Let's see what happens to Trent Williams. Maybe it's just $21 million to Alex Smith. They're broken on offense. They're the most expensive offense in the NFL, and they're going to be terrible on that side of the ball. That, to me, is the story. And nobody seems to be panicked about it. Nobody seems to be concerned. I'm in awe of how we're going into this season.
I think there's some concern.
I think a lot of Redskins
fans are looking at this going, wait a second. Where's the wide receiver talent? There's no Trent Williams. Are you going to be able to run the ball? Who's this Case Keenum guy, and what's this all about?
Case Keenum was good in Minnesota with Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. But we have Darius Geis. We'll be fine. I think everyone is wrong about how bad this is going to be on offense.
You're hanging out with different Redskins fans than I am.
Don't you hear it? You hear the pulse?
I hear a couple people saying that. That the actual pulse to me, if you want to talk about pulses, is this.
There's nothing. You didn't say anything.
Right. You know why?
Oh, there's no buzz.
Because people don't think what you think.
There's no buzz.
Because people don't think Case Keenum is the Vikings Case Keenum. Because people don't think they have weapons. I think that the reason people aren't talking about the Redskins, and the reason when we take calls on the Redskins, Dan in Fairfax and one or two other people call in, is because they're not as confident right now, not only in the offense, but in the operation and the team, as what you're saying. But there is some potential. Like, Richardson can make plays and has speed. Doxson can win a 50-50 ball. Trey Quinn has a chance to be a decent slot receiver. Maybe one of these guys from this competition of Cam Sims and Robert Davis, these obscure back-of-the-roster dudes, churns out. Maybe McLaurin's actually as good as everyone on the beat is saying that he is.
Well, we've seen so much of him.
We have seen the one snap where he wasn't targeted.
Which of the play did you like?
Which play that he's run through the two games? Probably the one.
The one.
The one.
The one play.
I didn't see him during the play. I think they ran the ball. But that was the one I liked the most.
It was a great play.
Double play is next on Grant and Danny. Got some fun stories from our time hanging out with a bunch of the Nats at the Scherzer Showdown. We'll talk about our weekends and get a couple of thoughts on things non-sports going on around the world. Next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, this is Eric Fetty. See you guys.
Ah, Eric Fetty. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. 106.7 The Fan. So Fetty came up to me. We were at the Scherzer Showdown on Saturday. He was one of the many Nationals who was there. And when I say many, you could tell that Max is a pretty popular guy in the clubhouse because he got a great turnout for his event.
So I'm trying to think of the list. So it's everybody from bullpen guys. I mean, Hunter Strickland has been here for 2 weeks, doesn't know everyone's name yet, and he was there.
Right.
He's never played fantasy football before in his life. I know this is not the point of the story. He was super nice. I talked to him for a couple minutes. Well, the nicest guy.
I love Hunter Strickland. Not to like?
He's handsome. His eyes are piercing.
He's got a 97 mile an hour fastball and a nasty slider. I'm in.
I needed him to stay the villain for me. And what I mean is, I don't care that it was Bryce Harper that he hit. I care that you insulted me 3 years ago. Bah, I'm so angry about it. I'm going to throw a fastball at your face. I need that to go away in sports. I need that to not be the thing. He's Team America World Police.
I just don't have the energy to hold grudges for multiple years.
I'm so good at holding grudges, but he makes it so hard.
You're mad at him for holding a grudge for a couple of years and throwing it at someone, and you're doing the same thing.
I know, but I'm not going to throw at him.
You're going to keep hating him for some reason.
What? Well, that's the reason.
It's like what a kid would do.
No. It's what someone who doesn't like something would do. I don't like that. But he was so nice. I don't have a Hunter Strickland hate anymore.
There was a great story written by Britt Giroli of The Athletic on Hunter Strickland and basically how he had anger issues, legitimately, and didn't like who he'd become and needed counseling and help and got it and is kind of transformed himself. It's worth your time. It's a pretty good read. Let's get officially into the double play. We could talk a little bit about some of our interactions at the Showdown. So I guess to quickly explain what this is, so it's a huge charity event Max Scherzer does every year. I think it's one of the cooler, more unique ideas I've heard from a professional athlete. But Max loves other sports, loves talking NBA, loves talking NFL, and is a big fantasy football fan. And so he has this charity. I think he did it once in Detroit maybe and started it there. I'm not positive about that. But they've done it now for 4 years here in D.C. called the Scherzer Showdown, where he gets a bunch of his teammates and some other D.C. sports dignitaries to come out. And basically, it's like I would say the clientele is fairly high-end, I feel like you're paying a bunch of money to be in a fantasy league that goes to an amazing cause.
So normally, you have your buy-in for fantasy football, right? And the winner takes 90% of it. Maybe the second-place guy gets 10, or maybe it's 100, winner take all. This buy-in, the money goes to the Nats Youth Academy. So
correct.
The price tag is high.
You get a really cool trophy that says Scherzer Showdown.
Uh-huh.
If you win, there's no money that changes hands.
It looks like the Super Bowl trophy.
It really does. It's very cool. I wanted one really badly last year, but wasn't able to pull off the championship as I lost in the finals and wasn't very happy about that. But I got to say, it gets bigger every year. This year was held at the Hamilton. And then our little role in this, they could either have us involved or not, and it would change nothing, but luckily they do, is you and I MC this thing and basically mm-hmm. are on the mic announcing things throughout the day and pulling people up on stage and having some panels with different players, and it's pretty cool. So some of the things that happened on this given day that stood out to me that I thought you guys might enjoy as listeners to this program. One, we had introductions where we didn't have to do this. No one told us to do this, but it's my favorite part every year that we do. We announce like all the Nats players that came out and they get a huge ovation because it's just a bunch of marks and DC sports fans.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go around the room and we acknowledge who's there and we're like, you know, last night, big home run, you know, huge swing. Adam Eaton is here.
Adam Eaton.
Yeah. And then everyone, Anthony Rendon, you know, RBI doubles twice last night. He's leading the league in these categories. Anthony Rendon. So we've got these like little bios for everybody. And I thought this was great. We get to poor Yan Gomes, who's not having a great year. And Danny just goes, literally, this is an exact quote. I don't know if you remember this.
I know exactly what you're going to say. I didn't know I had it because you left that one for me. I'm sitting there looking at it.
We're going every other, bro. That was not planned. I had to do Matt Grace. You think I was comfortable with that? I'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, he's left-handed.
So literally, I mean, the bios are something like this. Big, you know, ovation for 3-time Cy Young Award winner. Potentially a fourth at year's end. The best pitcher in baseball. Leading the world in strikeouts. Max Scherzer. It's like back and forth, and we're swinging the pendulum all over the joint. And then Danny goes, Yan Gomes is here.
Yan Gomes is here. Is
exactly
what I said.
That was the exact quote.
Now,
I
would correct you if you said anything incorrect, but you did not. I was thinking about set a career high in pass balls after 6 weeks. Is hitting 209. You can't hit your body weight.
Just put lipstick on the pig.
I said.
You could have said.
Nats catcher Yan Gomes is here, is what I said.
Led American League catchers and homers last year was a big addition last offseason. You could have said, playing really good defense lately and helping this pitching staff. There's so many things we could go with.
I could have done those,
I suppose. How about the 3-hit game he had last week on the homestand?
That game.
Literally. I mean, it was all I wanted to crawl under the stage. It was so obvious. And Yan Gomes, who is the nicest
dude ever. Nicest guy
ever. He is the nicest man. He was just looking up on stage like,
okay.
Thanks, guy. I mean, he knew it. You knew it. We all knew it. Now, the worst part, maybe worse than that, was I even said to you, we get there in the morning and I see the list of players are going to be there.
Maybe he won't come.
And I said, oh, no. Matt Grace is here. And Danny's like, well, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, I mean, there's just no way he doesn't hate me. And you're like, well, why? And I'm like, because all I do is acknowledge that he shouldn't be here and he's, you know, he's not very good. There's no way not to take that personally.
Right.
Like, even if, let's say I'm terrible at my job and a lot of people on Twitter don't like me and that's fine. There's no way, like, I just mute you. I don't acknowledge you. I don't care about you. That's fine. But, like, there's no way that I could just take someone who really dislikes my existence. My existence annoys them, not to take that personally.
And if they have a platform to talk about how much they don't
correct.
Like you.
And, by the way, they help shape in some way, not to inflate what we do here, but the narrative about me or what people feel about me. Mm. So, anyway, if I was Matt Grace, I would hate me.
Yeah. And, now, by the way, I understand that.
I completely understand it. Also, my job is not to be excited that you're about to give up 2 runs. I'm
right.
sorry.
I also, a part of our gig is to not be friends with Matt Grace. Like, right, that's part of
right.
it. We have to say, we have
I
to tell the truth.
I would be worse at my job if I said to you guys, Matt Grace is good because Matt Grace is a good guy. Matt Grace is very nice. All he's ever been is excellent to me. He's not a very good pitcher, period. So I try not to make it personal. Like, to me, it is never. I always tell Chris Russell and other people this. Like, I'll hear people sometimes be like, oh, he sucks. In a million years, my goal is to never say anything like that. He doesn't pitch well. He is not a good pitcher.
He's not effective.
Right. It's not about him. He's a good man. He just happens to be in a position right now that's punching above his weight class. So anyways, here I am doing a Matt Grace, anti-Matt Grace segment. That was not my intention. He's a very nice guy. I said I hope he doesn't show up because there's just no way this interaction is not going to be uncomfortable.
He got there before Max did.
Of course he did. You know why? Because he's so nice. He just wants to be nice. So we actually did talk, and I don't think he does know. Well, either that or he's so nice he doesn't care. Because I went up to him like, hey, Matt, how you doing, man? He's like, hey, what's up, bro? Like, how's your fantasy team? We, like, talked about his team for a second. Now, he didn't love the conversation.
No, he's not that excited about it.
But I don't think he said, oh, that's you.
Well, it's not how I would treat someone that said what we've said.
Correct.
Right? Does that make sense?
I would just be like, hey, man, we don't need to do this. Just go talk to someone else.
Right. You can keep
moving.
And
it would hurt me a little bit, but I'd be like, dude, I just want you to know it's not personal, and I'm very sorry, and good luck to you. The more success you have, the better off we all are. So good luck to you. I'm very sorry. I'm not proud of myself either. That's probably what I would have said.
I don't care for me either.
But anyway, when I introduced Matt Grace, here's what I said. Somehow I got Matt Grace. Yep. We never talked about that. We're going back and forth, and the whole time all I'm thinking, I swear to God, as I'm introducing everyone,
Oh, God.
Dang it. So we get to Matt Grace, and I go, I didn't say he's going to get. I said, he's going to have to get some big outs against lefties in the playoffs. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Grace. I mean, I just...
You sold it. You sold it. You did a better job than I did.
The next day, we got graced.
Did he get an out? I guess he got an out or two there. I just remember the balls getting hit so hard.
There was an out.
There was an out in there.
There was also multiple home runs.
The other takeaway, we had a great conversation with Anthony Rendon, and Rendon told us something we just couldn't believe.
He's signing a 10-year extension.
No, that's not what he told us.
That's just a joke.
That's a joke.
Don't tweet that.
These are jokes.
Can someone make sure that we don't have a story up
I'm
right
looking
now?
Out to the digital area. Do not write a story about that. Or write a story. We don't have to walk back comments. All right, so he said nobody ever comes up to him when he's out and about.
Oh, yeah. We got to talk more about
that. Nobody recognizes him.
Nobody. And he's happy about this.
And he loves it.
He gets to, I was like, you never get to go out anymore, huh? And he's like, nope. We go to, you know, Whole Foods, and we go to the restaurants we like. He said, and I quote, he has been recognized fewer than 5 times out and about in Arlington and D.C. since the season started.
Which is just unbelievable. He's Anthony Rendon.
It's bad. It's a problem.
So as a quick side, I was trying to sell him on one of my favorite spots in Arlington. Because, you know, he'll go to Arlington sometimes. Tupelo Honey. And I had so much Tupelo Honey on my mind that I shoehorned a trip for the old Rouye family Sunday morning to Tupelo Honey. And I had fried chicken and pancakes and biscuits. And it was so delightful. The place is awesome.
We're late, but the last thing I do want to say is Eric Fetty comes running up to me. Running up is way aggressive.
Sprinted to you.
He was actually sitting at a table, and I walked up to him. But he did say very quickly, like, hey, about that interview. Like, he brought it up. He's like, at the end of that interview, it was really awkward. Yes, it was.
It was?
But he didn't even know about See You Guys at all. He just hit the bullpen catcher, came up and told him, like, you're late. You got to be on the field. Let's go. And he's hearing that and panicking, and we're talking to him. And so he just said, okay. And he kind of hopped off the line. So I explained the See You Guys thing, which he loved, which led to this.
Hey, this is Eric Fetty. See you guys.
And Yan Gomes is here.
Yan Gomes is the catcher of the Nationals.
Beltway Blitz at noon next on Grant and Danny, 12:18. The bullpen structure without Sean Doolittle. This is the Fan.
Danny Rouye for my friends at Ted Britt Ford. They are celebrating the Summer of 60 event. That's all happening right meow. Here's what it means. They have been in business for 60 years. Okay, congrats to Ted Britt Ford. 60 years in business. And they're celebrating being the best in the biz all summer long. The good folks over there at Ted Britt Ford have been treating folks great, just like you and me, since 1959. Think about that. Fathers and sons and grandfathers and mothers and daughters, everybody. So many happy customers coming through Ted Britt Ford. So here's what they're doing. When you buy from Ted Britt Ford, you don't pay them anything for 60 days. Congrats on your new car. See ya, guys, for 60 days. You don't have to pay them diddly or squat. That's a big deal. It's the best buying experience in the D.C. metro area. I should know. I've done it 3 times. I love Ted Britt Ford. And when you buy from Ted Britt Ford, you get confidence for life. That's Ted Britt for life. It's powertrain service, service loaners, battery replacement, windshield repair. And we'll even do Virginia inspection for life. That's right. For life. Go see my guys at Fairfax and tell me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.